When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A question, who threw the punch and why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Johnny.
Hola.
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, sir?
Okay, now the first punch, let me lead this up to you. My brother always got me in trouble, so I was wrestling with him. I broke his glasses. He yelled, "Dad, Johnny broke my glasses." Dad said, "Johnny, go to the room." So Dad broke out his belt and was getting ready to whip me. I said, "No, Dad, let's go to the store and let's get some boxing gloves. I want to learn something from boxing instead of from the belt." Dad smiled because Muhammad Ali just got through fighting just that Saturday. So we went and got boxing gloves. We're out in the garage. My dad threw an overhand. He was doing Muhammad Ali shuffle and all that good stuff. And Dad threw a left, and I ducked back and threw an overhand right. Mind you, I was only 12 years old, but I got him flush right in the nose and the mouth, and down goes Dad. I was like, "Ooh! Oh, my God."
Down goes Dad.
Are you kidding me? I run into the bedroom. I took my or into the kitchen where Mom was cooking spaghetti. What happened? I said, "I just knocked Dad out." Mom said, "You did what?" I said, "Yeah." Dad comes around. He's got blood trickling out his nose and down his lip. Mom said, "Mac, you've learned your lesson for the day. Leave Johnny K alone." And I was like, "Oh, my God." Dad said, "If you get in trouble." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm never getting in trouble again. Lord, he's going to beep a pulp on him." It was one that still today. He passed away like 3 years later at 38 of a sudden heart attack. But still, that's one of the...
Well, at least you have the pride of knowing that you beat his ass before he died.
Yeah, you got it in.
At a very young age.
Jesus.
Right. Jesus. But that was just one of those things that, as a kid, you never expect to see your dad throw a left at you, you know, unless you're in a ring, with in the garage. And when he threw that left, I was like Ken Norton. Boom! Overhand right. Broke his jaw. Down goes Dad. I'm like, "Woo!" Oh, man, I thought he was
going to
kill me.
Anyone so happy.
That's awesome, Johnny.
Yeah, good for you, man. Jesus Christ. I think there was always that point, like maybe once or twice in your life that you wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
But you knew you knew it was coming. But you're like, "Man, if I just get one in without them knowing, man, I'm going to drop this."
I was like 15 or 16, and I don't remember what I was in trouble for. But it's one of those deals where I don't tell your father when he gets home, except my mother actually meant it this time, right? And I don't remember what I did. I remember he's coming up the stairs. I know he's going to come to my room first. But all day I'm thinking about this, you know, because I had like maybe 3 hours before he's going to get home from work. And it's one of those moments. I'm about 16. So I'm like, "You know what? Tell his ass. I don't care. I'm not sweating this. This mother effer is going to find out who the man of the house is. There's no doubt about this. So I'm waiting for his ass." I remember he opens my door, he looks at me, and I guess it's the look on my face. And he just says, "Is there something you want to say?" And in that moment, I looked him dead in the eye and said, "No, sir." And I just, you could tell, he wanted me to do something stupid. And
please.
Just, everything inside of my body said, "Do not do it, man." There's this look on his face like, "I want you to raise your hands, boy." And I can just feel it. And I'm like, "No, sir."
No.
I have done all the, I'm pumping myself up all day. And the minute we locked eyes, I'm like, "That is a bad idea. Like, let's not do that, man." Yeah.
Abort! Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Keith. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So I was working at a casino as a dealer, and people get punched all the time in there.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
The blackjack players, man, they're the angriest people on the world, in the planet.
And they, okay. What, they'll start fighting each other?
They will. You make a bad call on a blackjack game, oh, somebody's getting punched.
Honestly, it's the reason I don't play it in a casino.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. Not that I'm worried about getting punched, yeah. But people get very annoyed because I'm not good.
Oh, yeah.
So if you take their card, they get
pissed. All right.
And they will tell you, like,
My wife likes to play blackjack at the casino, man, and she gets real intense. I always just leave. Like, I'm going to go play the slots. She gets, like, real focused, man.
Okay. I just figure you're trying to beat the dealer.
Yeah.
The one story that I was telling Mike when I called was this big guy. He's got to be 6'5", 350, 400, right? He's sitting there playing a game, playing a table, and I'm at the other end of the pit, so I don't even know what's going on. I heard about it later. I just saw it happen. And apparently he told this little guy was sitting there at the table, got to be 5'5", maybe, I don't know. And he was just talking smack to the big guy about what he was doing with the cards. And the big guy was like, dude, you need to stop. And he kept telling him, like, 3 or 4 times, apparently. And little guy just would not stop. So the big guy was like, I'm going to knock your teeth out. And the little guy just kept going. And the big guy looked at the dealer, said, I'm sorry about this. Turned, didn't even get up or nothing, just laid this dude out. Teeth, blood, you could see it from across the way. 20 feet away, I saw it, just a spray come out of this guy's mouth.
Jesus.
And he hit the ground. And the big guy, apparently, he looked at the dealer. He goes, I am so sorry. He grabbed his money, and he walked over the cage, just calm as can be, and just dashed out. Little dude still laying on the ground. It was hilarious. Everybody in the place, as soon as it happened, everybody in the place, you could see everybody's heads just turn and look.
But did they just let him walk out, or did they do like a security,
escorted? What ended up happening was the little guy, he ended up getting up. He spit a whole bunch of teeth out onto the floor, and yeah, there was teeth. And he followed this big guy, and he got a couple of his friends. And apparently, I heard from security later that when the big dude left, walked out the door, these three little guys followed him and were met by the cops and immediately put in handcuffs.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Okay. Yeah, the big guy was allowed to go. He was like, he told the cops what happened, apparently, and they were like, I'd have done the same thing.
Well, what were the three guys arrested for?
Well, there was, I don't really know, but I know there was drugs involved.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah, apparently this little guy was on something, and he had something in his pocket, so.
Oh, well, man, okay. All right. Game over on that.
He had more drugs in his pocket than teeth in his mouth. I like the fact that the guy said, I'm going to knock your teeth out, and then literally knocks his teeth out.
Who threw the punch and why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
I don't know why people have to pick. But don't pick on a giant dude if you're a littler dude.
Don't do it, man. Just don't. I don't know why people do it. I have no idea. People always want to pick on the meanest looking dude. Like my buddy Leon, it was just his face. It looked like a Klingon. So if he was not smiling, he just looked angry all the time, and it did not matter what bar we went to. At some point, there'd be an issue. Most of the time, he could talk his way out of it, but if he couldn't, because people were convinced that he's mean mugging him, and even I'd say, like, dude, I swear to God, I've known this guy for years. This is what his face looks like. When I first met him, I thought he hated me, and then you realize this is just what his face looks like. But he ended up getting in scraps. The thing that I didn't understand about Leon, we're built the same, but he is a billion times tougher than I ever was going to be. Dude could fight, man. So the guy's like, take it outside. I'm like, you don't want to do that, man. I'm telling him, man, F you, F your friend. I'm like, okay. And I was telling Miles outside, the fastest fight I've seen, there were 5 punches thrown. There were 6 people in the fight. It was Leon and 5 dudes. Now, we are drinking beer together at the bar. These guys determined that Leon must be mean mugging them. And he even explained, man, it's just my face. Well, they don't want to hear it because they're a little tuned up, you know what I mean? So they want to scrap. And Leon just sets down his beer. He's like, all right, man. He walks outside, and all of us in the bar, there's these big-ass picture windows. So we watch him walk outside. He puts his back against the wall so no one can get behind him. He threw 5 punches, and all 5 guys are on the ground. Leon walks back into the bar, sits down next to me, picks up his beer, and continues the conversation as though nothing had happened.
Nice.
Yeah, for him, it was like a commercial break. Because he's like, dude, I'll be right back. I'm like, are you sure, man? He's like, I got him, man. And sure, and it's all, pop, 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 pop. Walks right back, and like it was done. Walks right back in, picks up the beer, like, yeah, man, Star Trek The Next Generation, dog. I'm telling you, it's like, God damn, man.
Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi there. How's it going?
Hola.
So years ago, we had Western Steel and Casting. I worked there, and after hours, we went to the Cyrene Tavern there on 4th Avenue. And Mark, one of co-workers, he had a cliff lip and a mustache, so it was hard to see it. Plus, he didn't really have a speech impediment unless he was drinking.
Okay.
And I'm playing pool, and Mark's sitting at the bar, and there's this guy bothering him. And Mark gets off his stool, and the guy punches him in the face. Mark's head goes back, and he turns around and it says, "My turn." And he pasted the guy so hard, he come up off the ground, and he didn't get back up for a couple minutes. And we all just stood there laughing.
What did he say to him again?
"My turn."
Someone that makes it worse.
She says, "Like Karen, the midday girl."
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like little Harry Carey-ish.
Goddamn.
She had that.
Oh, did she? Mm. All right. One of the guys I know in Mexico.
Oh, my God.
He's telling me, he's like,
"Oh, my God."
Said he's at a party. He's like 17, and he sees, as he says, like, "It's the girl of my dreams, man." Like, but I've never met her before, right? And so she's talking to this other group of people that he doesn't quite know. And he's at this party with his brother, and his brother, older brother. His older brother's like, "Dude, just say something to her. My God, stop fawning," right? So he goes, I kind of ease over to where she's talking, and I'm just listening in, you know, because I'm trying to find something common that I can, you know, break the ice with. So he goes, finally, I realize, like, I hear her voice. And so he goes, I look at her, he taps her on the shoulder and says, "I notice you have a bit of an accent. Where are you from?" She said, "I have a speech impediment." And he's like, it was the worst moment of his life. I was like, "Jesus Christ, dude, are you serious?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He said there was...
He's looking for any end.
Oh, no.
Any end.
He thinks this is the
accent. So he's like, perfect, just ask her where she's from. So he's like, "I hear you have an accent. Where are you from?" "It's a speech impediment." He's like, "Oh, okay."
Jesus. How do you recover from that?
You don't.
You don't. Yeah.
That is what he explained.
I think effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Steve, who threw the punch?
Some guy at the bar.
Some guy at the
Some
bar.
Guy.
Why? What happened?
Well, I was there with my girlfriend. Long story short, they were trying to hit on my girlfriend. She told them she had a boyfriend at that time. Still kept hitting on her. I went and confronted them, told them, you know, hey, leave her alone. The biggest of the three decided that he wanted to try to take me outside. Well, little do they know, I've been in karate and Kenpo karate and Taekwondo since I'm 5. I've got 3 black belts.
Oh, God.
And
do you explain this to them before you go outside, or are you just like, all right?
Well, no, they decided they wanted to take me outside, and 2 of the gentlemen were telling the other guy not to mess with me due to the cauliflower ear.
That is a sign, bro.
Yeah. I don't want to take that advice. So it was a back fist roundhouse, and then laying on the ground, "Please show up and put gentlemen in handcuffs."
You actually roundhouse his ass?
I roundhoused him.
See, man, I've never seen that
cool.
In real life.
That'd be cool. Could you hear it when it hit?
Bro, like a bat on your skin.
All right. Okay. Nice.
I just want to see that once, like in real life. You know, like every time you see a bar fight, it's just 2 drunk dudes throwing haymakers, doing the best they can. I've never seen anyone just break out an actual martial art move and drop it.
Here's the truth of the matter. To kick that high, even when I was playing football,
yeah.
To kick that high, you literally have to stretch. I had to stretch when I was 18, 19 years old for 10 to 15 minutes to make sure that I could get my leg on my shoulder.
Yeah.
It took that long just to be able to flex out again. So to do that without any, like, prep work, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even, you're cold. And to get the leg up that high and to make that whip and to do it, like, you know, just, like, on command, to me, that's the most impressive. That's the most impressive part of the whole deal.
The fact that he didn't have to stretch.
You don't. Like,
that's
you
know, what I mean, you took
I
out of it.
Be like, "Hey, man, give me a second.
Mark's got to stretch
it. Jeez, hold on. What are you trying to do, man? I'm trying to roundhouse kick you, but I need to loosen up.
I think the adrenaline dump would help you.
Sure.
And he probably still practices it a lot.
I would think. You said he's been doing it since he's 5?
Yeah.
And look, that guy's buddies are right. If you see the cauliflower ears, like, leave that person alone.
Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Solomon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
Hey, at the end of the story, if you don't mind, I'd like to update you guys on something we talked about last week.
All right.
But anyway, so it was about 1992. I was managing a club in the U District, and in this really busy hallway by the door where you pay and everything, a fight broke out. And the last thing I remember seeing is this big old fist over the crowd just clasped me right in the face. Hurt really bad, too. But my instant reaction was I had an ass in my back pocket, so I retracted and cracked him across the head. And blood just went gushing everywhere, and he took off, and, you know, the ambulance came and took him to the hospital or whatever. But it was about 6 or 7 months later. I was at the showbox with my brother, and I'm leaning against this little bar area, and I see him walking towards me, and I said to my brother, I said, I think I'm about to get in a fight again. He goes, why? I said, that's the guy I cracked across the head. And he walked up to me, put his hand out, shake my hand, and says, hey, I owe you an apology for that night. And I was like, wow, okay.
That's cool.
I'll accept it gladly.
Well, good on him, man.
Yeah, man. Seriously. I think normally half the time, people seem to get along a lot better after they just get it out of their system, whether they're friends or whatever the deal is.
It is weird how that works, yeah.
What was your update?
My size. What's that?
What was your update?
Oh, okay. So remember last week we were talking about if I had a girlfriend and how much it would take for me to leave a girlfriend?
Yeah. We said it was, I believe it was, would you leave your girlfriend for $10 million bucks cash?
Yeah. But we brought it down a bit.
I brought it down to 10,000.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Because I told you my daughter was most important. She was living with my mother in Texas. Remember that?
Yeah. So
the good news is this Saturday I'm flying to Texas and I'm picking both my mother and my daughter up and we're driving back to Seattle and they're moving here.
Oh, they're going to move here.
They're moving here.
All right.
They're moving here.
Well, at least you will die in the heat.
Yeah. So, I mean, but now they're living here, so I don't have to worry about trying to get to Texas.
Awesome.
How long is that drive, man?
It's 32 hours.
Well, take your time.
At
least you need to get back to work. I mean, seriously. Yeah. If you can take a week off, man.
Tuesday.
Yeah, take your time.
God almighty, 32 hours, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
time. Man, if I had time off, if I was retired, didn't have a job, whatever, I would take my time and drive and see all kinds of crap. Because I'm not really in a hurry to be anywhere.
Well, yeah,
I would take the train or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that's the difference. If you're retired, like, you don't need to be anywhere. But even if I took
2 weeks
off from work, like, I don't want to be stuck in the car because at some point, I got to get back to work.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, I'm like, today I'm only driving for 7 hours. Then I'm going to stop here. I'm going to see this. Or I'm going to, you know, drive up 101 instead of drive up 5. Or
I'm over road trips, man. Just childhood, it is.
Yeah, but I've
ruined it for
what's
me.
What's your limit? Mine is 8 right now.
8?
So I think 8's good. I think it also depends.
I can go. Look, as a kid, and I always remember this, we were driving from upstate New York to California. We were in the car for 16 hours, all right? We stop at a motel, and they got adjoining rooms, and my brother and I thought that was awesome, right? So we're kind of messing around in our bedroom. I remember my father cracked the door and said, look, I'm not going to tell you to stop messing around, but you should get some sleep, because tomorrow's the long day. And I cried myself to sleep that night. We were in the car for 16 hours, and he wasn't kidding. I think we did like 18 or 19 the next day. Dude is a machine in the car. Like, he does not get tired. He's like the Terminator, right? He does not need to sleep. He does not need to pee. He does not need to poop. He does not need to eat. He does not need to drink. I mean, the only time we stop is if we needed gas. That was it, man. And it was awful. So just and look, I know times have changed, but just in my mind, when you say
a road
trip.
That's not how I do a road trip, though.
No, it's not like, because we didn't stop to see any, I think we stopped at the Great Salt Lake once, and were attacked by sand fleas. I always remember that. It was one of those, run! And everyone runs back to the car, and it was awful. Otherwise, it was just to get to the destination.
Yeah.
Nebraska is a horrible state. And look, it's nothing against Nebraska, all right? I'm sure it's fine. But I go back to my childhood, being stuck in that car and looking out the window and thinking, I could be anywhere else on Earth, and it's more interesting than this. So there's nothing wrong with road trips, but it has been built into me from childhood that they are evil. That they are the worst freaking experience of your life. And they're not.
Think it's something to do with that East Coast mentality.
What
it's
do you mean?
Like my brother, they still do it all the time.
What, drive?
Like 2 weekends ago, he drove up to Cape Cod, right? And then Maddie was getting an award in Charleston, South Carolina. He literally drove 8 hours for a night and then just turned around and drove back the next day.
I feel like
his daughter, right, like getting an award, I feel like holds a little more.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I don't know. And when I was a kid, anywhere we went on the East Coast, you just drove. The idea of flying was like, what? Why?
Well, we always drove. But the problem is we always drove to the West freaking coast. So if we stayed, like, if we were driving to Virginia, fine. 8 hours, seriously, it did not bug us. We're like, we understand. That's cool. But I think the difference is on the East Coast, even though you're not going any faster or any slower, your perception of making progress changes because the states are so small.
Correct.
So we leave New York, and then suddenly we're in Pennsylvania, and you're in Maryland for 15 seconds. And you're, right? So if you've only driven 200 miles, you feel like you've gone farther because all the states change. When we drove through Texas, we were in Texas for 2.5 days.
That's fine.
Driving from east to west. Yeah, so it's not that we weren't making progress, but you don't feel like you're freaking getting anywhere. Wow.
I think it depends, too, how open the roads are. Because even when he does that trip to South Carolina, he's like, eh. Once you get past a certain area, it's just pretty open.
Yeah.
But he's like, going to Cape Cod sucks. That's what you're saying. You got to go through Philly, New York, all
right. All the people. Yeah.
Yep. Who threw the punch and why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So my buddy and my other buddy were drunk. And my roommate, also named Josh, was having a birthday party for the first time in like 10 years. And his cousin was my ex-girlfriend, and she showed up with her mom, so his aunt. And then I got mad, and I walked down around the corner in East Bremerton, and I could see from the street that I went around the corner to into my backyard. And I watched. I told my buddy not to bring him over if he was too drunk, because I know how he gets. And he showed up. He's stumbling all over the place. And I see him whip out his unit and pee on the barbecue.
What?
Just watched him pee on the barbecue. So I got mad, so I walked back up there. And then he's shoving the buddy that brought him over out, and one of my friends from kindergarten that lived underneath me in the mother-in-law apartment, shoving them out the door or whatever. So I, barge up in there because it's my house. And then somehow he ended up on the floor. I picked him up by his collar and his belt, and I basically Uncle Phil'd him off the third step into the grass. He did a barrel roll, and he goes, he's like, what's up, man? What are you going to do? And I was like, I'm about to knock you out. So I walked over, hit him in the jaw, and dropped him. And he hit his head on the sidewalk at the edge of the grass.
Ooh.
And ended up getting airlifted over to Harborview, and now he can't smell anything. Oh, he was a well inspector in the shipyard.
I knocked the stink out of him.
All right. I knocked the straight stink out of this dude. He dropped hard. And then I had to talk to his dad the next day because he couldn't find his wallet. And I was like, well, nobody robbed him, man. I immediately went in to get him an ice pack. And they came out, and the cops were there with a fire truck. And the neighbors across the street were outside doing some witchy voodoo stuff with, like, sage. Because that house across the street was haunted like a mofo. And so was mine, too, by the way. But there was something else going on in there. But, yeah, they ended up airlifting dude. They took him in the ambulance to wherever they pick up. It's not too far from where I was living.
Good times.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to smudge that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's voodoo.
Yeah, that's not voodoo, though.
I mean, you could smudge any house you move into.
That's the thing, yeah.
Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
10 songs made more famous by movies. Coming up, we'll sit and spend with Taryn Daly and C-Mix from the Daily Mix Morning Show. At top 4:30, right after emails on our question, who threw the punch and why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Martin. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing, boys?
Hola.
So, about 25 years ago, still in high school, had a buddy move in with me. Not the best and greatest or brightest human being to have ever been met. But we were sitting on my front porch one day, and a couple of neighbor kids were walking by, a little younger than us, and they looked over and they said, hey, can we bum a cigarette from you? They seen him smoking one. And he says, you know what? I only got one to spare. And, one was tall and lanky. The other one was short and stocky. And the short and stocky one just kind of looked up the tall one and said, I'm so sorry. Oh. And then just proceeded to pelt into his head like he would not believe. And, when they were finished, they're good buddies. So he got the cigarette and he ended up splitting it with him. But it was still pretty intense. given our age and what was happening there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement, man. God damn.
Amateur boxing.
But he actually said, I'm sorry. I like that.
Yeah, he knew he was way stronger than his buddy. So he just kind of looked at him and said, hey, man, I'm going to take the cigarette.
Yeah.
Dude, I got a buddy.
That's awesome.
I got a, sorry, dude.
On the same level of stupid fighting, I got a buddy who lives in Ohio.
All right.
And in the area, the West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio area, they do this thing called Rough and Rowdy.
Okay.
Where they just get together, they go to some armory someplace, and it's just amateur boxing.
All right.
So basically, when you go to an area, if you go to Columbus, Ohio, there's four or five dudes from Columbus. There's still a couple dudes from other towns. But they all get together. They have ring card girls. He goes to every single match.
Does he fight in them? Or
no, he just goes for the entertainment value.
And it's unreal. I think like Barstool sponsors a bunch of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And they're like, the ring card girls are like, you could tell are like local strippers.
Oh, yeah.
And the dudes just look like random dudes. They kind of size them up.
Yeah. Some of them have nicknames that they just make up.
Sure.
You know? Some of them have like, you know, they'll come in with a cape on, intro music, the whole deal. It's just like, it's your neighbor, you know? It's Larry. And he just gets in there. They don't even do like... It's not even like weight requirements or, I mean, they try to keep it close, but if you win, you just keep going up.
Okay.
So, I mean, in theory, you could be 120 and fighting a 185 pound guy at the end of the night if you want to, if you make it to the championship.
And what's is there a cash prize, I'm guessing?
You know, like maybe $500, $1,000. It's not much.
Right.
But it's just the idea of being able to go up there and then just beat the hell out of somebody you don't know. But they put them in pretty decent-sized gloves. Probably like, you know, 12 ounces or 16 ounces.
Damn. All right.
Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Mac.
It's Mac. Mac. Okay. My bad. It's Mark, but in Boston.
Mac. Anyway, so basically years ago, just out of high school, 21-year-olds. Making moonshine, dropped some apple pie moonshine off to a buddy for a bonfire, went back to go get the old lady. When I got back, one of the guys was absolutely tatered off the bottle of shine, falling off the tractor and falling almost in the fire. Well, he decided he wanted to just be rowdy with everybody to the point where we called the cops or ambulance because we thought he was puking blood at one point. And he denied the ambulance help. I'm like, all right, whatever, man. Keep partying. Well, one gal had enough, and she was pregnant. So she tried leaving, and he was blocking the driveway. And he told her basically to screw off. I'm not moving, and threatened to slap her. So I went ahead and stepped in. All right, man, come on. We're all friends. Why don't you just step over here and get out of the way so she can go home? At that point, he decided to straight up headbutt me.
What is it with headbutts today? Good luck, man.
Yeah. So he headbutted me, and everybody out here on the Key Peninsula that I know knows not to hit me in the head because that's a bad day for you. So the next thing I know is I've got him in a chokehold, choking him out on the ground, two guys trying to pull me off of him. So they're like, all right, don't kill him. You know, we don't need you to go to jail. So I go ahead and get up, said, all right, man, we're done. Well, he holds on to my left hand. Unfortunately for him, I'm right-handed. I go, let go, or you're not going to like the next thing that happens. And he said, you know, screw you, F you. And I just went ahead and laid into him my right hand and knocked out his entire front 6 teeth in his mouth.
Oh, damn.
6 teeth.
Did any of the teeth get in your hand?
My hand got cut open. I pulled I don't know if it was dirt or a rock or his tooth, but yeah, I did pull something out of my hand at the end of the night. But his head hit I hit him hard enough to knock the front teeth out. His head hit the ground, bounced back up, and hit my hand again as I was pulling back.
Wow.
Damn.
So I guess he had a hell of a morning the next day.
Oh, he woke up probably 15 minutes later. We're all drinking and partying still. And then, you know, we had already went in and called the cops, and they took his gun out and took him away because he was threatening to go ahead and escalate. But, yeah, sent him away.
Did he remember any of this?
Yeah, he's actually about 10 years later, he apologized, showed me his new teeth that he had. He said he was an idiot.
How did they look?
Oh, they look, you know, when somebody goes ahead, like, Bucky the Beaver, they get those fake porcelain teeth in, and they don't shave them down properly, so they just don't fit in your mouth.
Are you saying he looks like the Bucky's mascot?
Yeah, like his whole, all six of those teeth are bigger. They make his rest of his mouth look like he's got little chitlins for teeth.
What, did he get these teeth at a discount?
Hey, I don't know.
One size fits all.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good times. Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
It looks like a beaver.
Hello, Doug. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
What's up, Doug?
Yeah, this is, I go back to 1988. I was the mascot for the Tacoma Tigers baseball team. They were the Tigers before they became the Rainiers later on.
What was your name as a Tiger?
I don't think it had a name. It was just the Tacoma Tiger.
Okay.
All right.
Big suit, giant head. I run around the stadium, run around the field in between innings doing mascot stuff. And then in between innings of one game, the two umpires were along the first baseline, and I'm out there on the field goofing around. So I run up to the umpires, and I start shadow boxing them, and right in their faces. And I could tell from the crowd that they were kind of enjoying this. And I think one of the umpires recognized that also. So he starts whispering to me, okay, I'm going to take a swing at you. I'm going to take a swing at you, and you'll be ready, okay? And I keep shadow boxing them. And then the other umpire, who is out of my sight now because of the tunnel vision of these mascot heads, he rears back, and he sucker punches me right in my face, right in the tiger's face, which is ends up being my face, too, because the head kind of collapses into my face. And he rocked me. I sent me down to my knees. I stagger up to my feet, and by then, you know, the umpires are walking off to their stations, home plate and first, and so I stagger off the field, head to the clubhouse, and get a big bag of ice for my bloody nose.
So, did you see the video last year of Conor McGregor? So he hit an NBA mascot, I believe.
He hit the Heat mascot.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Because that guy was messed up.
It's Conor McGregor.
It's Conor McGregor punching you, first of all. So like you said, okay. I mean, I don't know what the padding in is. It doesn't matter.
Right, it's Conor McGregor.
He's punching you in the head. I mean, that's going to hurt. You got to take a look at that video, man.
And remember, Deontay Wilder did it back in like 2018. He did it to a mascot on ESPN.
For real?
Oh, he clocked that dude.
I mean, was he mad or is he like messing around kind of thing?
I think sometimes people just forget that it's like there's a human inside of them.
Right.
Right? Because if you talk to anybody that's been a ask this guy, he was the Tiger. Like, people just like lose their mind and forget there's a human in there, and they're like grabbing him and pinching him. And
did you have to audition to become the mascot?
I thought I was going to have to because, you know, I was a little older. I was in my mid-20s, and the guys said, we kind of want a college kid to do this. So I just kept calling them every day for a week, and they said, fine, you can do it. And I loved it. I did it for 2 seasons.
What kind of pay or perks do you get as the mascot?
There was no pay. The only perk was you got into the games for free.
Okay.
And even if you weren't working a game, you could still get into a game.
Were you there when Canseco and McGuire were there?
That's a very good question. No, they were there in 86. I was there in 87 and 88.
All right. Okay. It wasn't always a Mariners affiliate.
Oh, right. Okay.
So A's.
Yes,
yeah, for a period, they were the... I'm just reading up on it. Apparently, they were really good.
Did you ever have a lady of the night ask you to keep the head on, so to speak?
No, but you get girls walk up to you at the stadium when you're in the suit, and they go, are you a boy tiger or a girl tiger?
And
I didn't say anything. I didn't talk
to
the mascot. I had a giant tail, of course, a tiger tail. So I would just whip that thing in front, in between my legs. And they got the idea, and then I walked away.
All right. That's the way to do it.
Well, mascots aren't supposed to talk.
Yes, I'm saying, right. If you talk, do you get fired?
No, they really didn't give me any instructions. Just, you know, stay off the field during the play while the game of play is going on.
Fair enough.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've only known.
I went everywhere. You know, I went in the stands. I went on the field. I went on the parking lot. I just went all over the place.
Everyone's happy to see you all the time, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was rare that anybody else other than
that one umpire wanted to punch the tiger.
Now, did you, as a mascot.
Punch the tiger.
Punch the tiger.
I know, that sounds like a euphemism.
You up there punching the tiger, kid?
Now, while you're a mascot, is it mascot code that you cannot reveal to anybody locally that you are, in fact, the tiger mascot?
I told friends and family that I was the tiger.
Well, I mean, that seems reasonable. But, I mean, just if we're at the bar, we don't know each other. We just start talking. I say, what do you do for a living? Would you even bring up that you were the tiger? Or would you, like, I can't tell you.
Well, again, you know, I didn't get paid for it. It was just kind of...
I'm the tiger. The broke-ass... Jesus. The coma tiger.
I worked for a diaper delivery service. So, yeah, that's what I did during the days. And then... Tiger at night.
I mean, I think it depends. Like
diaper delivery day, tiger at night.
That is okay. This is as random as it gets, man.
Cloth diapers.
Like, I think some professional, like major league guys, are a little more secretive. But I think it decent. Like, you could tell people.
Okay, like, I didn't know how it worked in the mascot world, because I heard, and I can't remember if it is Blitz or if it's the Mariner Moose, and I do not know who the person is, but I heard it through the grapevine that one of them is a fan of the show.
I would go
which cracks me up, because
I would go with Blitz.
It might be Blitz,
because anytime I've met Blitz, I've been wearing like Pearl Jam stuff or
okay,
stuff. Like he always like he doesn't talk, but he'll be like
acknowledges like yes,
yeah,
Pearl Jam.
So like I'm like he seems like the bigger music person.
Yeah, I heard it through the grapevine. Like, dude, they didn't tell me who it was, but like they're a fan of your show, and I know that they're not wearing the mascot costume right now. But when you say that, all I picture is like a mascot with headphones on. Listening to us on the subway or something. Like, yeah, I download
podcasts. I think minor league baseball would be okay, but like, for instance, at South Carolina,
all right,
you cannot reveal that you're cocky until graduation. And it's like a big deal, because then at their massive graduation, whoever was the mascot, whose name is Cocky, would come
what
out.
What was Cocky?
Well, he's a Gamecock.
Oh, all right.
South Carolina.
Okay,
yeah.
But like, then that person, this year was a woman, she gets to come out in just the feet. And then run up and down the graduation doing the same, like, cheers. And everybody goes nuts. And she's like, it was me the whole time.
Awesome. Awesome.
I know one girl that she auditioned to be the Oregon Duck. And this, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. But there's auditions. And she said, it's not as fun as you think it would be. You walk onto a theater stage, and it's like five people, you know, just sitting in the front row. They're not impressed. They're not happy because they're watching a bunch of idiots all day. So you're not in the full outfit. But like you said, Ted, you got to put on the feet. Because that's a real coordination, right? So she was a gymnast, and she said she started doing this routine that she'd worked out, but kind of tripped over the feet and fell on her back. And then the problem was, by the way, she did not become the Oregon Duck, and this is why. So she fell on her back, but she couldn't get up because the feet were too big. So she's like, I'm laying on stage flailing around, and basically she said, they're just like, next. It was over. It was done. I was like, huh.
That's crazy.
I don't know if the feet were so tough. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, you guys. So this goes back. I think I was about 14. My brother was 12. My brother is, he's younger than me, but he's like 3 inches taller than I am. So he was always the big kid, you know. And so we decided one day, the whole crew in the neighborhood, we're going to play Smear the Cue. Do that stuff. Well, there was a kid that lived about 8 houses down that was kind of the neighborhood bully. And my brother and I decided one day, or that day, that was it. If he comes down to play, we ain't taking his S. So sure as heck, he shows up, we start playing, and that kid laid my brother out. Clotheslined him, laid him out flat. Oh, it was terrible. I run over there, bigger, you know, older brother, not bigger brother. I go over there and I push the kid in the chest, and he pushes me back. And that fight or flight took off on me, and I just like cold cocked him. I'm 14, but I'm a big kid. I was like, you know, almost 6 foot tall at 14 years old.
Damn.
So I let this kid have it as hard as I could, and he stood there and looked at me.
Uh-oh.
And it was like, OS. So I turned and took off running. I just take off running, and that kid's chasing me. My brother's behind him. We end up in that kid's backyard, and I turned to face him like, no, I'm not taking this crap no more. Let's do it. That kid just knocked the ever-living hell out of me. He jumped on me and started beating on me. And my brother, I'm on my back, and I can't see my brother. I'm on my back, and I'm laying there, and I'm getting the hell beat out of me, and all of a sudden, it's wet. I'm like, what in the heck? It's summer. It's not raining. My brother hauled his junk out and was taking a leak on the kid.
That's his move.
Oh, wow.
As he was yelling, nobody hits my brother, doing this thing, you know. So and the kid, of course, gets even madder. So he jumps off of me, takes off after my brother. My brother sidesteps him. He's still got his wang out. So the kid tries to get him. My brother grabs him by the shirt and just starts swinging him. Like a merry-go-round, just swinging. And finally, the kid's shirt rips. And when the kid's shirt rips, he lands in, he hits their garage head first.
Oh.
And damn near knocks him out. So we're like, yeah, you know, yeah, you son of a. And my brother takes his shirt and throws it up on the roof of the garage. That shirt sat on the roof of that garage for almost 25 years.
Serious.
Jesus.
Did the bully leave you guys alone after that?
After that, he did leave us alone, and he did not play any more Smear the Cue.
All right. Okay. Yeah, good. There you go.
Thanks. Who threw the punch? Why was it thrown? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room. I'm guessing Kyle is gone.
Yeah, that's not seem like Kyle's there ringing.
Kyle?
Or he's a very high voice. Hello, Cliff. Yeah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, men's room, how you doing?
Hola.
Hola, senores. Okay, real quick, this story is about the guy who threw the punch and the guy who took the punch.
All right.
Me and my group of friends grew up in a small town, Central California. We were always looking for trouble, but anyway, one of my friends, he came from a big family. His brother was 6'7", weighed like 305 pounds.
Jesus.
He was rather small. He was like 6'3", 6'4", and only weighed like 255. But he was a linebacker. He could run 40 yards in just a tad over 4 seconds. So anyway, we went to this little town, Merced, and the scrawniest one of the bunch went and picked a fight with a cowboy. Nothing against cowboys, you know. Anyway, so my big friend, he goes, oh, no. You know, he took off running across the street as fast as he could. And mind you, this guy could bench press 440, maybe 500 pounds. He took off running as fast as he could, and he hit this guy with everything he had. And the guy just stood there.
Ooh.
And it was like, oh, my God, we better get out of town or we're going to die, you know? So he chased us around the car a couple of times. We finally got away, got in the car, and we got the hell out of town. This was a bad guy, you know?
You know. Yep, you know.
Have you ever just hit someone and it had no impact on them? One kid in seventh grade, I was trying to protect my buddy.
Probably.
And this kid wasn't a bully or anything like that, but for whatever reason, he's just going after my buddy. So I kind of step in. I'm like, hey, man, Frank something. Anyway, and he was one of those kids where he already had the unibrow, the mustache, and smelled like death, you know, at 12 years old, whatever it was. And so I remember I hauled off, and I punched this kid,
sorry,
man.
He's smoking cigs and drinks whiskey.
But he wasn't that kind of kid.
All right.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. He was generally speaking a nice guy, but he's having his moment, whatever. I hauled off. I remember I punched this guy on the side of the head, and he looked at me, and he said, and this is his quote, I know you're joking. And I said, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, I'm just kidding. And I grabbed my friend, and I'm like, oh, my God, listen, man.
That is frightening.
It was terrifying, but he was smiling when he was saying it, and it seemed like he was sincerely indicating that I was joking with my bitch-ass hit that hit him on the side of the head. But I remember...
I know you're joking.
Oh, dude, between classes, I remember I hauled off. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm about to drop this dude. Just hit him. He said, I know you're joking. I'm like, yeah, man. It's all good.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
10 songs made more famous by movies. Coming up, we'll sit and spin, and emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.